behind every great beer is an even better story. Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. My guest on the podcast this evening is about as far away from me as I can get within Australia. He's even in a different bloody time zone. The team at Beer Farm over in Western Australia have been at this beer thing for a few years now, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really know how to describe exactly what they do over there. In fact, I don't even know exactly what my guest does for the business. You see, Ben Joseph's email signature refers to him as the slip and slide engineer. That's got to be one of the coolest job titles I've ever heard, but as I said, got no idea what it has to do with running a brewery. So instead of me giving you the background on the beer farm, I figure we'll just get into it. So welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Ben Joseph.
Thank you very much, mate. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you, mate. Now, look, usually when I do these things, I have a fairly good idea about what the brewery does and what the beers are. But tonight I'm going to be learning along with the listeners because it's fair to say that I know bugger all about you.
Hey, well, it's, happy to tell you all about it. It's an interesting business and very sustainably focused. I'd say that our core range is kind of, you know, the on the cutting edge, the forefront of what craft beer is nowadays, and we try and, you know, be as relevant as possible and have some fun along the way.
I did a bit of research about you, and I sort of can figure it's part brewery, part farm, part mini restaurant, part kids' adventure playground. Have I forgotten anything?
Yeah, well, you know, you're nailing it there. We have a really strong agricultural focus.
Yep.
And a lot of that agricultural focus is based around the sort of full circle operation. So we actually run a little hop farm down in Carradale.
Oh, nice.
Kind of supply a bunch of hops for the brewery, just whole cone flowers. And we run about a herd of 60 head of Angus on the farm, which we recently expanded a little bit. We're growing it, feeding them from the spent grain from the brew.
Beautiful.
A bit of a trub we mix in there as well. That doesn't seem to bother them too much anymore. And then most of their diet's just grass, you know, free range around the farm. We've had a couple of pigs in the past. We've got chooks and sheep. We slaughter those beasts, you know, two by two. To supply the kitchen and do a bit of tip-to-tail cooking, try and be as sustainable with that as possible as well. So that's a big focus of it too. Brewery's run off solar.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got about 160 panels out there, trying to do as much of that as possible, just all our production and the venue as well. It's really daytime focused, so you'll find all the big venues in the Margaret River region, like, your Cheeky Monkeys and Colonial and Bootleg and the like, they're all really popular sort of lunch trade venues, none of which are really open in the evening because we're all pretty rurally located. So people have got to have an easy time getting out there and getting home and usually just come for a bit of lunch and then head back to whatever town they might be staying in the region.
So a couple of questions. Mm. Who's involved with you in the brewery and how did it get started and whose idea was it?
So I moved over about 5.5 years ago. I'm from Sydney originally. I was one of the guys at Young Henry's before I moved over here.
Yep.
So was my business partner Ian Atkins. He was one of the founders of Young Henry's too. And when I moved over, the original plan was to actually open it up as the second Young Henry's.
I had heard a rumor about that.
Yeah. Well, that was the intention, and it was pretty ambitious, you know. Like, when push came to shove, of, you know, running two separate businesses from either side of the country, it just wasn't that logical in the end, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know, no bad blood there. We just decided to go down a bit of a different path, but obviously that meant, you know, making a new core range, new brand, and a new venue, you know, with its own identity. And I suppose that was where, you know, the idea was born out of, to have, you know, a bit more of that sustainable focus.
Yeah, cool.
A bit more agricultural focus and rural focus about it. Young Henry's obviously been very metropolitan. Newtown, you know, where I'm from, was a really different kettle of fish.
Absolutely,
But this one over here, it's a very different business. But I think it's such an important and crucial topic in the modern climate. You know, people talking about doing things as sustainably as possible and you know, that really creates some longevity with any business, I think. And it creates a lot of interest as well. People, I think people like, you know, give themselves a pat on the back, choosing a nicer brand, whether it's whether it might be their favorite product or not. But I think it was a good point of difference sort of thing when we started getting into it, and now it's just it gave the business an identity very quickly, I think.
Yeah, cool. I've literally just got off the line with Will Tatchell from Van Diemen Brewing, who runs a farmhouse brewery down here in Tasmania, and I reckon you guys would have a lot to talk about together.
Yeah, I love it over there, mate. I was over Owen Johnson showed me around the HPA site a while back. He's a lovely bloke.
How good's that?
Yeah, unreal. Yep. So went to Bushy Park and had a walk around there and saw how the big guys do it. It's a very different sort of operation what we run over here, but you want to have some good aspirations, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, but I love it over there. I'm actually might be going back there soonish for a bit of a judging opportunity.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. Nice one. Now, am I correct in saying that you and one of your business partners, Undies, you refer to him as, were both home brewers before this all started?
No. Undies works for the Margaret River Brew House. That's a different brewery, what? But he's a mate of mine.
Oh, is that where? Oh, okay. You've got quite a lot of Western Australian, like, local rags that write about.
Yeah. I remember the one you're talking about, and they did put me down as one of their business partners. And
is that what it was? I get fucking mixed up with those two.
I was there judging a homebrew competition with those guys. So I live in Margaret River where that brewery is, and they're good mates of mine. My partner actually works there at the moment.
But, so this is going really fucking smooth.
Yeah, I think, local rag. I think there was a photo of me and those guys, and they just assumed I was part of the brew house team. But no, it's all good.
They got me.
And I was not a home brewer originally. Actually, I got into brewing construction, and then just kind of learned
for construction.
Yeah, I'm a carpenter by trade, and got involved in Sydney with the ability to help put the brewery together and build the furniture assist in the construction side of things and have a bit of hospitality experience. So I was going to help manage and run the venue there and then just kind of learn to brew on the job.
Oh, nice.
Because we started becoming a lot more of a production brewery than the venue that it was originally planned to be. So I actually haven't been brewing for most of the time I've been over here. I'd like to throw my two cents in every now and then, but now our brewer's a lot more capable than I ever was, that's for sure. I do sales over here, but slip and slide engineer sounds a little bit better on an email sign-off, I suppose.
I've actually seen a picture of that slip and slide. It's a real thing, and I believe it's fully council approved, isn't it, or something
is,
like
mate.
That?
It is, yeah.
It's unreal.
We dose the water with chlorine coming up from the dam, and it's sand filtered and stuff, so they're a bit worried about, obvious meningitis factors and stuff like that with our backyard sort of slip and slide.
Yep.
I mean, it's as safe as a water theme park slip and slide, I reckon.
That is brilliant.
And the youngsters love it in the summertime.
Just brilliant. Sorry to interrupt the podcast. In the words of Transvision Vamp, I don't want your money, honey. I want your love. I'm not going to ask for a Patreon donation because that's not really why I do this. I just want you to help me spread the craft beer gospel. Whichever podcast service you use, if you like my interviews, please like, subscribe, follow, rate, and share my podcast with your friends. It all helps to spread the craft beer message throughout the community, and in turn, hopefully can help those of you out there who make a living working in the industry. That's all. I'll let you get back to the podcast. We're not here to talk about slippers lies. Let's talk about the beers. Now, I haven't tasted any of your beers, which is not uncommon with, the regional WA breweries. I mean, we are a bloody long way from each other.
Yeah.
But that's a shame because from what I've heard, you guys must be producing some pretty great beers because you've done quite well at the AIBAs the last few years, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We got the trophy for Best International Lager for our IPL.
IPL, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years back. And they got a couple of golds too in pack and draft. And our IPA's got a gold medal the past 2 years in a row.
Yes.
We're doing well. Our IPA is actually our best-selling beer now. It's a pretty approachable IPA, and so it's a bit of a hybrid between an English and American style. We use quite a few American hops, but it's got a nice, pretty, strong but balanced malt backing to it as well.
Yep.
So that has been an absolute monster for us. The IPL kind of put us on the map, I think, and then the IPA's taken over. Because it's such a popular style, people don't walk up to a bar and go, "Can I have an IPL?"
Looking
at a list, So, the IPA is a monster for us. And other than that, we do a West Coast lager, which does really well in keg for us over here. When we can manage to snafu a couple of lager taps, it goes really strong. But they're tough competing with the big Swanee draft over here. But other than that, we have a good cider with just a whole apple cider made from local Manjimup apples. and a Kamya Farm, which is our Australian pale ale, a mid-strength option.
That's that's the other one I read about. That because I'm a big mid-strength fan, being a father of two with responsibilities. And so anytime I see a mid-strength, I've got to try them.
No, that's a great one. You should definitely give it a whirl. That does well for us too. Other than that, the Assam boys in our core range, it's a core range sour.
Yep.
It's a salted plum goza.
Oh, cool.
We started as a collaboration with a venue in Singapore called Smith Street Taps.
Yep.
And that's turned into a bit of a monster. BWS and Dan Murphy's just took it on over here, actually, which is
happy days.
Looking really strong and a pale ale.
So obviously I can't get them down here, but how far do you send your beers?
So we have a bit of a presence in Sydney.
The
being from there and always wanted to have a crack over this. You know, I'm always keen to go back and see my family and try and plug a few sales while I'm over there. We just took on our third sales rep recently in Sydney, so that's the other part that we do a bit of trade. Like we go really predominantly well locally in the southwest and Perth, and then a bit north of Perth as well. But Sydney, and then we go through Redwood in Melbourne. They're starting to pick up then. Pick up as well. They're going pretty well. Adelaide a bit when we get over there on our way through, sort of thing. And haven't really started tackling the Brisbane or Queensland market yet, but we'd look to do that once, you know, Sydney finds its feet well.
Yeah, okay. Oh, cool. I noticed in checking out the beers that you've brewed in the past, you don't mind a collaboration, whether it be with another brewery, a restaurant, and even an artist for the Haymaker IPA, I noticed. Is that something you guys actively look to seek out, or are those just projects sort of come along organically?
I'll tell you, a lot come along organically. I think everyone, especially venues, love doing collaborations, and it's a fun excuse for the guys. You know, let's say they have a bar in Perth and they all want to come down and do a beer together. It's something fun for them to put their name towards and to also, you know, just get out and have a good sort of staff bonding session.
Yep.
Depending on the venue, we've had some really great success with them in the past. I don't think we've brewed a bad one, actually. They're always good fun and we always choose places that are happy to take on a bunch of it, so there's never a drama selling it.
Yeah.
They usually want to be very experimental as well. You know, no one wants to come and just brew a lager. They wants to be some pretty out there sort of stuff. Yeah. So it makes it fun, and, you know, our guys love that as well. Like, all our brewers get right into that. It's a pretty fun, exciting part of the job for them too, I think.
Do they always want to brews the, you know, maybe the easy drinking beers? Like, have you had any crew sort of come out and say, I want to brew a Russian Imperial Stout or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, big time. You know, most of the places that are choosing are kind of – they're choosing because they're already very sort of craft focused venues, you know, and therefore they want to do something that's fun and exciting, and they want to talk about as well, you know. So I think that our collaborations are probably the wackiest beers that we do.
Nice.
I think, yeah. We just recently released our Native Series number 6, actually, which is an ongoing collaboration we do with a food mob over here called Fervor.
Yep.
Yoda's just an incredible chef. They do a great job of selling sort of they put on a lot of like external events across the state and then across the country. And they just got such a good name for themselves. They do a really good job of sourcing local indigenous and endemic ingredients.
Oh, great.
The right way, like instead of just buying something that might be farmed that isn't actually endemic to the region from a specific region. They make the right effort to buy a well-sourced ingredient.
Yep.
And to thank the local custodians for it. So it's a really cool collaboration we do, and we just did a strawberry gum leaf stout. Have you ever tried the old strawberry gum leaf before?
No.
It's cut, so it's a eucalyptus.
Yeah.
It's actually endemic to New South Wales.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
It's like northern New South Wales. It's the local indigenous people used to kind of chew it as like a bit of a lolly, like for themselves.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't really have any like medicinal purposes, but just tastes really nice. It's got a really lolly strawberry flavour to it, which is just so strange from a eucalyptus, you know.
And you put that into a stout.
We put that in the boil in a stout, and it
nice. Yeah,
powerful stuff. Was great. It just gives a really interesting difference and like a slight tartness at the end of the stout.
Beautiful.
It's awesome.
So one on nitro by any chance as well?
Well, at the venue we could.
Yeah.
We found when we've tried to do like a decent batch of nitro, it's really hard to sell because the venues that do have a nitro tap, they're usually really committed to Guinness.
Yeah.
Bloody
or
Guinness. Just, you know, something that's consistent.
Yeah.
And they like the idea of it, but then when push comes to shove, they yeah, they struggle to actually get through it or get it on at all.
Yeah, okay. Hey, from the outside looking in, the WA scene feels really tight and a really fun scene to be a part of. I know a few people over there, like you might know Blaney and Pierre Poynton. I sort of know those guys from being involved in the scene. They are always with a smile on their bloody face, just loving their guts. Like, is that how you see it?
They're a couple of the real gems of the industry. No, it's a really good scene over here. I think the Western Australian scene is super parochial but supportive at the same time. You know, it's kind of venue-wise as well. Everyone's ready to support local and keep it very Western Australian. It is a really, really good scene. We just had the Perth Craft Beer Festival on the weekend, and that was a corker. Yep. It was probably the best beer festival I've attended, actually.
Oh, really?
I think it's unreal, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And, just getting everyone together. Everyone has a good time it's just so supportive.
And speaking of support, like there is a lot of beer drinkers out that way, and I've got to give a shout out to the Perth Beer Snobs on Facebook, who are probably one of the largest Australian beer groups on Facebook, I think. Do you get involved in the social media side of things with them a bit?
To tell you the truth, I'm not a huge social media guy. I definitely don't toe the line for our company. I'm the kind of guy that forgets. I'll be in exactly the right moment to take the picture, and I definitely should be the man for the job, but I never remember to do it. So I'm not that much of a social media guy. My colleague DJ, he's more in touch with all the Perth Beer Snobs guys out there. But shout out to DJ and all those guys too.
They do a great job, and they are just so parochial about you guys out the west there.
Yeah, well, they got a great choice here, man. Like I think there's about 14 breweries in the Margaret River region nowadays.
Yep.
And it's not a huge population over here. And, you know, we all get up to Perth quite a lot. And the Perth scene's blowing up as well. I went to Blaster for the first time. I should have been in there a while ago, but went for the first time to have a beer before the Bledisloe Cup the other day. And man, those beers are unreal. They were so on point and consistent.
Oh, nice.
I really like this stuff.
Is there enough thirsty drinkers over in WA for all of those breweries to survive and not have to worry about shipping beer across the Nullarbor?
That's an interesting question. I suppose it just depends on how ambitious and how much you want to grow. You know, you can be satisfied with X amount of 1,000 litres and absolutely, but if you wanted to grow to be a really big brewery, then you would have to, you know, send it interstate. I think it depends what you classify a big brewery as well, I suppose. But it's, I mean, it's such a growing scene. Like we're finding that we're actually, you know, we've gone from, you know, going into sales calls and knowing no one having heard of us, you know, maybe a year and a half ago, to really, you know, we're going to every sales call and, oh, yeah, the beer farm. And most people have actually been to the beer farm. It's really turned a corner for us, you know, recently with a bit of visibility. Yeah, and there's a great sort of thing over here that I didn't experience on the East Coast where a lot of people in Perth, they really make this annual pilgrimage down south to where we're based.
Yep.
And it's crazy when I go and do events and stuff in Perth and get up and talk to people about the beers or it's a tasting or whatever and ask for a show of hands who's been to the beer farm. It's crazy how many people put their hands up. You know, for a business that's been open 3.5 years, it's usually the majority of the crowd. And you know, if I'd done that in Sydney and held an event in sort of Newcastle or Canberra or something, I think it'd be a pretty small amount of the crowd that, would have actually been there.
Yeah.
You
know? Yep. Yeah. And, mate, now you've been on the Beer Healer interviews, you're about to really blow up.
Love it.
Don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
Hey, mate, I'm off to Bali in October, and it's a tough place to get a decent beer. Surely you West Australian guys can team up and send pallets of decent beer there just to help us Australians out. I mean, Bali's pretty much like your guys' weekend destination away, isn't it?
That is right, mate. I've actually never been myself, but I have a lot of Western Australian friends who tell me I'll never be a real Western Australian to begin with, but then they also tell me that they won't consider me slightly Western Australian until I get that Bali passport in my, that stamp in my passport, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I'm not the man to ask. We have a bit of a crack over in Singapore and Malaysia.
Yep.
And Thailand recently, but the Balinese market hasn't come knocking yet. We haven't approached it. We're always looking into, you know, different opportunities like that. Happy to think outside the box. Refrigerated transport is a huge factor for us. So
yeah, absolutely.
As long as we manage that well, then I'm sure it'll go really well.
But can't be that hard if you just like a conglomerate of yoga together. Got a couple of containers and just shipped it over. There'd be because there's literally nothing over there. You've got Bintang and all of the, you know, the European Me Too lagers. Last time I was there, all I could find was one locally brewed, and I think it started with S, I can't remember, but one locally brewed beer, which was pretty ordinary, some sort of brown ale, and a couple of Anderson Valleys out of the States. And that was it. Everything else was just supermarkets full of the crap.
It's so tough, man, and it's not it's not that hard. You're right, to just to fill a couple of containers with, you know, a bunch of local crew and get it there. It's kind of how you manage it once it gets there, to make sure that it remains refrigerated and gets delivered refrigerated. And you know, it's kind of, if you don't have someone on the ground really devoting some time to it, then it's actually a pretty hard thing to run. But not to say we won't have a crack in the future.
and I reckon from what I've seen of, like, you know, construction sites and things like that, I reckon things on the ground work a little bit differently to the way they do in Australia. So maybe not all your beer might get to the venues.
Yeah, mate. It's, you definitely want to be using that black pallet wrap. You know, that you can't really actually, don't want to be using any clear pallet wrapping, that's for sure.
So out in the, you guys are in the Margaret River. How many other breweries are sort of in that region? And do you have like a beer trail going on between all of you?
Yeah, so yeah, it's about 13 breweries here now, I think. We do have a bit of a beer trail. The local Southwest Craft Beer Bogans do a great job of getting around. So they supply sort of keyring, and you get a bit of a discount through a bunch of these venues and breweries. It's a really good scene down here. Like between the sort of few major towns, like in our sort of region, which is sort of Busselton, Dunsborough, Margaret River, there's a lot, you know, whether it's great little venues in those towns specifically, or bigger pubs that have a good offering, or the breweries themselves, you can make a great day of it. And there's a couple of, you know, brewery tour businesses that run tours around the place as well.
Yeah, it's cool. It's something we don't really have working that well here in Tasmania. We've got, you know, we're not a big state. You can drive top to bottom from Hobart to Launceston in, you know, 2.5 hours or whatever. Perfect to be able to visit all the breweries along the way, but we just don't quite have it all together. We need to sort that shit out.
Yeah, well, there's a huge, like, there's a really big international tourism focus here as well. You know, with the sort of proximity to Southeast Asia, it encourages, you know, a lot of people come here definitely for the wineries, you know, they're world class, and then the scenery's unreal. There's a lot of caves and a beautiful coastline, and then the breweries have become like a big part of that.
Yeah. And how are you guys going in the fight against mainstream beer over there? Are you starting to really turn the tide? Because you've obviously had little creatures there that sort of they're still craft beer, but you know they're big beer. And then obviously the Western Australian mainstreams with the lion beers over there.
I don't want to say fight against mainstream beer. I don't want to offend any
bad choice of words.
Friends, most Western Australians drinking their exports wouldn't be too happy with me either, mate. But I think it's all pretty harmonious. You know, like I usually find with, you know, friends and colleagues that you have your hardcore beer nerds that they're not going to touch anything that isn't super exciting and you know, genuinely independent. Good on them. But most people are a bit of a balance, you know. If you're at a barbecue or something and there's an Esky of Emu exports, you know, not many people are knocking them back if it's the only option. But you know, it's kind of convincing one person at a time to try something new and getting into it. It's just exposure, I suppose. I'm not sure, like, statistically how Western Australia stacks up against the rest of the country comparably with, you know, the amount of people drinking, you know, more craft versus not. But I'd imagine it to be pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know the stats. That's what I thought I'd ask you, because it seems from, as I said before, the outsider looking in, it seems like you guys are doing pretty nice things over there.
Yeah. Well, Little Creatures has a really strong presence. And I think if you ask most people, they'd still think it's a Fremantle-based company.
Yep. Yeah. not quite. But anyway, I didn't believe that. Mate, what about the future for Beer Farm? What do you guys got on the horizon?
Oh, mate, well, I think the venue's been an interesting slog and a lot of work to kind of get it to where it is now. I think it's humming along really well. Our shift, you know, only more recently is focused towards growing our wholesale as well as we can. I think that the future in that, I like to think, you know, the exciting future of the beer farm is the agricultural elements as well. Yeah. Maintaining that sustainability, genuinely growing an interesting hop and hopefully eventually barley crop, doing some malting. So my little puppy's just going crazy in the background. Can you hear that growling noise? She's got one of my Nikes. just cleaning it up. But I think the exciting part of the beer farm is it's obviously the fun limited release beers and keeping it interesting and agile, you know, and in terms of what the marketplace wants and what we want to produce and try and be creative with, but also balancing that with an agricultural element that's really transparent and interesting and educating people about that.
Nice stuff. Well, I know myself, I need to get either to WA or to Sydney and try some of your beers because they sound pretty awesome.
Please do, mate. And yeah, even if you just get to Melbourne, I think so. Redwood actually does have a if you got in touch with those guys, or I can for you, they send a bit of beer down to Tassie.
Cool. About. Yeah, okay.
I think we're in a couple of bottle shops down there, so maybe I could I'll figure out who they are and I'll shoot it through to you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I'd love to try them. Now, right mate, on. We've come to the pointy end of the interview where we get down and dirty with the fast five.
Thank you.
Are you up for this? Five questions in 90 seconds.
Let's do it.
All right, mate. Ben Joseph, your time starts now. Has beer ever led you astray and can you tell me about it?
Oh, yeah. Inebriation has led me astray a million times and no. But, you know, you wouldn't want to hear about it anyway.
Fair enough. Who's the most famous person you've ever shared a beer with?
Oh, man, I'm tough on the spot like this. Shared a beer with? I mean, I've been around several. I don't know if we've genuinely shared a beer.
I was in the same room as Rudd.
Kevin Rudd.
Yeah. Big K Rudd. Nice.
I spanked him on the ass as well. It was at the Gas
What has been
hotel.
Done for you that... At the, where was it? The Royal...
The Gassy in Sydney. It doesn't exist
the
anymore.
The Gassy. Nice. What has beer done for you in your life that nothing else has?
A career.
Fair enough. That's good. That's One. Good. What's the best beer experience you've ever enjoyed?
Best beers. My next one.
Your next one. Nice. Yeah. Nice. And what's the most important thing you've learnt in your craft beer journey?
To enjoy it, not to take it too seriously, and the haters are going to hate.
Fair enough. And finally, question number six, can you help me get Chris Hemsworth on this podcast?
Potentially, yeah. My brother actually knows the a couple of those guys. The brother.
Oh, get out! One day someone's going to be able to link me up with him because Chris loves a beer.
Lives obviously in Byron. My brother's he's a pretty cool guy to talk to. He works for Foxtel.
Oh, no, we need to take this offline and we need to try and get my people to speak to his people because I just think if he could get on and have a bit of a chat about beer, we could help explode this craft beer thing nationally. I think it'd be awesome.
Oh, mate, he has the reverse face for radio though. You're going to have to get a video one going.
Oh, yeah, but he's going to put me against him and nobody will be looking at me. Maybe I'll just have the camera on him the whole time.
There you go. It'll blow up.
We'll see how we go. All right, Ben, mate, thank you very much for joining me all the way from WA this evening. It's been fantastic to find out a bit more about Beer Farm because, mate, you sound like you're doing some great stuff over there. You're operating in a very vibrant Western Australian craft beer industry and I look forward to trying your beers one day soon and seeing what all the fuss is about, mate.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And, yeah, encourage anyone Absolute to come down pleasure. To the farm and have a good time.
Get out there. Good on you, mate. Thanks for your help. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to another Beer Healer interview. I really hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you want to follow along with more Beer Healer content, you can check out my Facebook, YouTube and Instagram pages. Just search Beer Healer or you can visit beerhealer.com. If you like the podcast, can you please help me spread the word by subscribing and rating it and sharing it with your beer-loving friends?